You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to The Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair. Andy XL is pundit number one. Hello, Andy.
Good morning.
And that must mean Derek McGovern is pundit number two. Hello, Derek.
Good morning. Good morning. Often being called number two, me.
Dave Kelder is now back in the UK, you'll be pleased to know. He said he couldn't be bothered to do the podcast. He might be back soon. Although Sam Norris, who doesn't often host The Punt, he's been roped in to record The Punt the morning after the Christmas party because the sensible people put the day off. But he didn't. Anyway, more on that to follow. We have got a derby day on Sunday. Three derbies coming your way. But the Premier League action kicks off this week on Friday night with Cardiff against Wolves. So make sure your fancy teams are done nice and early. Cardiff 14-5, the draw 11-5. Wolves are 6-5. Not likely to be a thriller this, Derek. But these are the games that Cardiff have to win if they're to stand any chance at all of staying up. And they have won games like this already this season against the likes of Fulham and against Brighton as well. And Wolves are in awful form, but we've referred to them on this podcast as bookies darlings in the past. Are they actually fairly priced here at 6-5?
No, I don't think so. You know what? I looked at this game and I thought Wolves were absolutely shocking last week. But if they were that shocking every week, they'd be bottom of the table. And they're not. You know, they're comfortable. So there's a lot more to come from them. And I was fully intending to go for them this weekend. But 6-5 is ridiculous. 14-5 Cardiff. I can't believe the difference in the odds. I mean, it's not a great fixture to start the weekend. This is a Friday night football we haven't had for a long time. And then we finally get it. It's Cardiff v Wolves. I mean, you know, the Premier League's so bad this season. When I last looked, 14 teams were in the bottom half. That's how bad it is. You know, Cardiff have actually scored more goals at home this season than Tottenham and Man United have. Yeah, it's quite incredible. Like, Tottenham, you can understand because they haven't played that many at home, but you know, they've scored more than United, so they are capable. And 14-5 at home, they're not 14-5 at home against one of the top six. They're at home to Wolves, who only just came up. It's too big. I mean, you know, if someone had to say, right, to save your life, you've got to pick the winner of this game. And by the way, I don't think it'll be football. you have to pick the winner. I'd say Wolves, right? But sometimes you've just got to be guided by odds. And Cardiff are just far too big at 14-5.
It was the same story last week, Andy, when Wolves played Huddersfield. And you almost sense that kind of style that Huddersfield implemented against Wolves is similar to what Cardiff will do to them. And they could do a Huddersfield on them, couldn't they?
Yeah, and I mean, I said before last week's game that it'd be a different matter for Wolves trying to break somebody down rather than counter-attacking on them. And that might be the same situation here, although Cardiff at home, like you say, they'll be going for the win, so it may suit Wolves a bit better. Neither team are prolific, that's for sure. Cardiff, they've scored a few goals at home, but they've actually only scored in four of the seven home games, and Wolves have only scored in four of the six away, and they've only scored one in each of those four. So they don't score away from home, Wolves. And I just can't be with Cardiff because I just think they're rank average, to be quite frank. So the last three seasons, Cardiff have won four of the games and Wolves won two in the Championship. But the two that Wolves won were two of the last three, including the one last season, which was hilarious at the end when Cardiff missed two penalties in injury time.
Oh, yeah, there was a bit of aggro, wasn't there? I forgot about that. Yeah.
And Nuno Santos stormed the pitch when they'd won. Mr. Warnock decided to give him some Anglo-Saxon English as a reward. So, yeah, they've made up after that. But, I'm going to do what I normally do here when I think two teams can't score very many, and I'm going to go for the draw.
OK, 11-5 the draw in this one. And worth noting, Cardiff, for all that they've scored a few at home this season, they're yet to score first at home this season. First goal Wolves is 8-11 in this. It's fairly short, but it certainly could guide your betting. And hey, if Wolves do take the lead and you think Cardiff can come back, then there's certainly some value to be found. Maybe back Cardiff to come from behind and win or draw. All those markets available on the William Hill website. Saturday tea time, we have got Southampton against Manchester United. Southampton are 100-30, the draw is 13-5, Man United are 17-20, and Mark Hughes is running out of excuses now, Andy, although don't tell him that because he'll just keep finding them from somewhere, but surely at some stage he has to take some accountability for what's going on at the club, because, well, he blames the referees, then in midweek he blamed VAR. What's next?
I was going to say, you know somebody's in trouble when they start complaining about VAR. What can I say about this game? It's two teams I've been lambasting all season. I really just think Southampton are in dire straits, and Man United are better than them, and I think the price is all right this week. Man United are better away from home than at home this season. You mentioned they don't score many at home. Well, they've got 17 in 9 away games, which is averaging nearly 2 a game. That's not too bad, particularly away from home. And Southampton can't score. So the same applies there. So I think United are a cracking price this week, to be honest. I think they're going to win and possibly to nil.
OK, 17-20 in the outright betting, so they are odds on. But, Derek, are they justified in being odds on? Southampton have won just once at home in the Premier League this calendar year. And bear in mind that we're nearly in December now. That's pretty rank.
Well, they are a pretty rank team. And Mark Hughes, I can't believe he keeps getting all these jobs. He really does talk a good game. He looks like a proper manager, doesn't he? Until his team takes to the pitch, and then they're absolutely useless. I mean, the fixture list hasn't been kind to him, has to be said. Now that is his barber, by the way. They've been thrashed by City, Liverpool and Chelsea. They've even been thrashed by Wolves and Fulham. And the only team they've beaten is Palace, a team with all the confidence of someone asking me for a loan. So, yeah, I think United are fairly priced. They were useless, United, last week against Palace. And against Young Boys in midweek, they were useless as well. So it's a surprise to see them start such, start favourites, really. The way they're playing, it'll be a surprise to see them start favourites at Old Trafford because they're just playing awfully. But this is a gimme. This is an absolute gimme for United. And they're almost approaching even money to be probably the worst side, I would say. It used to be Huddersfield in my book, but no longer. United have won 3 and drawn 1 in the last 4 visits to St Mary's. This is a gimme for them. They'll win this.
OK. Of their last 5 wins in all competitions now for Manchester United, after that win against Young Boys, of the last 5 wins in all comps, they've scored 4 winners in the 90th minute or later. It's 12-5 for a match goal from the 86th minute to full-time in this. Obviously something you can get involved with in play as well, but it's almost like the return of Fergie time, isn't it, Derek?
Yes, yeah. Well, we said when Fergie left that it's a loss to football, about 5 minutes a game. But yeah, United seems to be doing it. But under Fergie, they played well for 90 minutes and then just played better in that last 28 minutes. but now, this is an unrecognisable Man United team. I mean, we read this week for the umpteenth time Pogba might be leaving in just months, not long after arriving. Well, that sent shockwaves through no one. I love Pogba, but he's classed as a £100 million midfielder, but he's playing like anything but now. In fact, he's playing like Nicky Butt. I don't know what's happened. He is a top class, world class midfielder, and under Mourinho, he's playing like me. The manager has an awful lot to answer for, and again in midweek, his antics on the touchline. If I was a Man United fan, thank God I'm not. I'd want that manager gone, long gone.
Mm. Okay, but you're both taking Man U to win.
Yeah, definitely. Not because they're anything great, but just look at who the opposition is.
Yeah. Okay.
The other interesting thing is the two managers are the two front runners to be the first manager to lose their job.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Eight on now, Mark Hughes. He's a happy Christmas.
Yeah. We are recording this Thursday morning, so if anything's happened in the interim, I doubt they'd get rid of Mark Hughes right now, but hey, stranger things have happened. Right, we've got Sunday, Derby Day. We've got Jerry Cox from the FWA along a little bit later on as well to discuss Arsenal and Spurs in a bit more detail. But we start with Chelsea-Fulham on Sunday. Chelsea are 6s on the draw, 7-1, and Fulham are 14-1. We'll start with you here, Derek. Chelsea have lost their their unbeaten Premier League record. They got absolutely battered by Spurs the other day. But Fulham last beat Chelsea in 2006. And although Claudio Ranieri's come in and obviously had a positive impact, they won against Southampton. It's a big old ask to go to Stamford Bridge across his own stomping ground and win, isn't it?
Well, it is, but he's, you know, he's going at the right time, isn't he? But a win under his belt, and Chelsea floundering a little bit, Chelsea in action in on the Thursday night as well. So, you know, there are things in his favour. He's got a tune out of Fulham in his first match in charge, that tune being Dilly Dong, Dilly Dong. I can almost give them a squeak here, you know, because I watched Fulham when they played at Liverpool, and I think they got beat comfortably in the end. But for about an hour, they could have easily been ahead in that game. They looked a tidy side. You know, they're ranked the rock bottom of the league, and it's, you're thinking, well, they're playing against Chelsea, a team who until about a week ago had title contention. So, they, you know, 16-1 or whatever it is they are, is about the fair price. But there's something about this game that's making me think, you know, Fulham are a better team than their position implies, without question. And maybe getting rid of that manager, Djokanovic, has helped them. Because it certainly looked like in the first game in charge for Ranieri. He's going back to his old club as well, of course, another reason to do well. You know, I can't bring myself to go for them outright because I think Chelsea are a very, very good side. But on the handicap, with a two-goal start, there's something like even money, aren't there, I think I saw earlier on. I'm going to have to do that. I think Chelsea, this is a good time to play Chelsea.
Fulham plus two, 6-4.
6-4, Jesus Christ, yeah. That's got to be on. I don't know what I was looking at before then. 6-4 is a big price. Two-goal start.
Yeah.
Chelsea in action on the 30. Got pasted last week. I'm having some of that.
See, for once, I sort of agree with you, Derek. Because,
call the doctor.
I know. Andy, what do you think? Because I just can't back a side like Chelsea at sixes on when I think that Fulham have got every chance of scoring in the game.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I first thought I'd have with this game is goals, goals, goals. Mm. There's going to be loads of them. Chelsea have scored 15 in 7 at home this year and Fulham have conceded 15 in 6. So, you know, you'd say 4 or more goals would be that sort of area. And if there's going to be loads of goals, Fulham will get 1 or 2. So I don't think 6-4 is the worst. I do actually think Chelsea will probably end up running out 3-1 winners, something like that. But I think they'll win quite comfortably. You know, that was a good performance by Tottenham last week. It wasn't a terrible one by Chelsea, I didn't think. I think the only thing Ranieri's going to get going back to Chelsea is one or two players out the reserves, which he's already after. Danny Drinkwater, to name one. Mm. Names you'd forgotten even existed.
Yeah.
And he'll might go back and sort of tout them up for a couple of players, but I don't think he'll get anything else there.
Both teams to score is even money in the game, which I think is huge. I'd have that as 4-6, personally.
That's right. It's one of those that should be a 4-6 poker. I'm very surprised at that. It's obviously guided by the fact Chelsea are 1-6. But, you know, we have Fulham. You'd imagine Fulham will score because that's what they generally do. But they also concede loads.
OK. That is midday on Sunday. At 2:05, we've got Arsenal against Tottenham. Now, in this one, Arsenal are priced up at 31-20. The draw is 5-2, and Spurs are 13-8. Mr. Excel, you are our resident Arsenal fan. Over to you.
Yeah, I'm mystified why the biggest game isn't on last.
It is.
we'll discuss.
Cardiff Wolves on Friday night as well, so that's quite
good. Well, don't rule that one out. Can somebody abduct Harry Kane is my first thought for this, because he always scores against us. 4 in the last 5. Spurs have scored in all 7 away games this year, 18 in total, so they'll score again, and it's against Arsenal, so of course they'll score. But the fixtures are all... You know what really struck me about this was the draw price. It's two teams priced close together, and you've got the draw at the big, way big at 27-10 the last time I looked.
5-2 now, but still.
Well, there you go. I'm not surprised it's shortened. Mm. Normally, in a game where it's pretty much each of two, you'd be in the 9-4 area. So, you know, I'm going to go with the draw again because there's been 3 in the last 7 fixtures. So I'll take a chance on that. And if I was picking one out, 2-2 is where I go. So I think you get double figures for that. So that looks all right to me.
Okay. There's a whole host of your odds markets as ever available on this and every other Premier League televised game. And we've got cross game your odds markets as well, involving the Arsenal and Liverpool game later on if you are looking to get involved. Derek, Spurs have now won 6 in a row in all competitions and some big wins in there as well against Chelsea and against Inter Milan in midweek. Arsenal lost their first 2 under Unai Emery, but unbeaten in the league since. They've been drawing a lot recently though, haven't they?
Well, they haven't played anybody. That's the reason for their great run. Well, the one decent team they played in that run were Liverpool, and they got a late equaliser. Probably should have lost that game. You know, whenever they play a big team, they lose Arsenal. You could have said the same about Spurs earlier on, but now the winning big games now. That performance against Chelsea was top-notch. They're looking a tidy side. They're looking the side that I think will probably give Manchester City the biggest run for their money. I don't think Liverpool will. I think Spurs are the one that could come out of the pack now. Because let's not forget, they've played very few home games this season and they're still riding high. Tremendous performance last week. I like the look of them here. Just one thing Andy mentioned about the draw price. I noticed that in midweek, Andy, in the Champions League games, the draw prices all seemed artificially long, more so than I've seen for a long time. Is this a trend now with your odds compilers? Are they pushing the draw price out more? What's happening?
I think we've had a run recently of the big teams winning, and therefore people are getting multiples and accas up, and we're sort of gradually shortening the fabs more and more, which pushes the draw out. And the draw's the one, you know, historically, you always struggle to lay. People want to back a team to win, not to win. So,
well, yeah, that's always surprised me.
I think it's the market forces.
But how has it stood so long? Because nobody's backed the draw for a million years. And yet it's always hovered around the 9-4 mark. And I've always thought, push the draw out. No one will back it. And then you can shorten the big, you know, the other two sides. And it never seems to have got through to bookies until now. Finally, somebody's listening to me.
Well, we've still been making our money, so no reason to complain. But just recently, I think the dominance of the bigger teams is just getting stronger and stronger. And you're seeing that reflected in the prices now.
I don't think anyone's actually listening to you, Derek. Let's not get carried away. I think it's a coincidence at best. Anyway, right, so outright picks for the Arsenal-Spurs game. Andy, you're with the draw?
Yeah.
And Derek?
I'm going for Spurs. I think they're a better side than Arsenal.
Okay. Let's move to Liverpool-Everton. This one coming up at 4:15 on Sunday. Liverpool 4-11, the draw 4-1. Everton are 15-2. Derek, Liverpool have got it all to do in the Champions League now after losing in midweek in Paris, but they're still unbeaten in the Premier League. They've only conceded 5 goals this season. And Everton have got a horrible record at Anfield. The last win was in 1999. Can you name the goal scorer on that day? It was 1-0 Everton.
Wasn't Andy Johnson, was it?
No.
Oh, I can't remember.
Kevin Campbell,
geez.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's going back a while.
Was that the last Everton win, you was?
Last Everton win at Anfield.
Oh, at Anfield. I was going to say, I've got one in almost as bad. 17th October 2010. Named 2-0 to Everton. Name the scorers.
That'll be Andy Johnson and Lee Carsley?
Nope.
Ooh.
Was Andy Johnson one of them?
No. Tim Cahill and Mikel Arteta.
Crikey. Oh, so you're going back, you know, sort of getting on for generations now since Everton have actually beaten Liverpool. It's... If you're a Blue, which I know that you're not, Derek, thankfully for you, you can't look forward to Derby Day.
Well, no, they haven't in a long time. But when Liverpool were in the Pomp, remember, and Everton weren't, Everton would still give them Liverpool a bloody nose on a number of occasions. That hasn't happened over recent seasons. I think the gap between them grew and grew. But this season, I'll tell you what, Liverpool are the most overrated side probably in Europe. I speak as someone who's seen virtually every game this season. And I've not been impressed with them at all ever in one of those games. Maybe they opened that against West Ham when West Ham were diabolical. Since then, they've been appalling. They're looking like an accident waiting to happen. And that performance against Paris Saint-Germain in midweek was appalling. Absolutely appalling. I wasn't building up to say that backing Everton at 15-2 is not as stupid as you might think. I probably am, but it's just this is a winnable fixture for Everton. Liverpool are waiting, are heading for a fall. I'm tempted for the 15-2. I really am. But I think you can get something like 8-5, more than 8-5 for Everton with a goal start, and then with that you've got both Everton and the draw on your side. And the sooner I have that on my side, than Theo Walcott. I think Liverpool are falsely priced here, 4-11 to win a Merseyside derby. That makes them the worst bet since whatever I tipped last week. I just can't have them. Everton are a good team. The sixth. You know what? If they at the current rate, they're heading for a haul of 65 points at the current rate. Last season, Arsenal finished sixth with 63. You know, would you get Arsenal going to Anfield and being those kind of prices? No, I don't think so. This is a good team, and I like the manager. They've got a proper manager.
Okay.
15-2 is too big.
Yeah, you mentioned the handicap betting. Everton plus a goal is 21-10. Everton plus two goals is 8-11, which seems pretty generous as far as I'm concerned. Because they're a solid side, Everton. And I'm a big fan of Sigurdsson, big fan of Richarlison. There are goals in that side. But what I would say about Liverpool, we touched on it there, is the fact defensively, I know that you said that they've not been great this season, but defensively they've been really solid in the Premier League. When they have conceded goals, it's generally been through individual mistakes. As a team, they look solid.
Well, they do, but, you know, that's fine. It's easy to be solid defensively. The forwards are playing like strangers who can't play football. Every time Liverpool kick off in a match now, I fear the worst. I can't believe they are where they are in the league. Because of that, they've not been impressive in a single game.
Okay, Andy, we touched on the history of this game, but this season Everton have only won once away from home in the Premier League, and that's got to be a cause for concern coming into a game like this.
The history is just all Liverpool, isn't it? In this game, I mean, last 17 games, 8 Liverpool wins and 9 draws. Which, you know, if you were fancying Everton, you'd look at the draw again. So maybe the double chance, or like you say, on the handicaps. I really can't make a choice in this game because I'm a bit with Derek. I think Liverpool have been grinding out results in an efficient manner. So that's how I describe them at the moment, efficient rather than spectacular, which they were last season. So I'm not sure whether they're stagnating a bit and whether they need a bit of a freshen up in January. And there's a bit of me that thinks, you know, you shouldn't do it as an odds compiler, but 17 games without winning, one's got to come along eventually. And this might be it. It does have the feel of one where they could just trip them up. With Liverpool having a disappointment midweek, can they raise themselves again? Or, you know, is this the one where Everton will be getting the advantage? And so I'm with you, really. I'm siding with Everton a bit, but I can't convince myself to back them to win it. So maybe the double chance.
Okay. That's Liverpool-Everton then, coming up at 4:15 on Sunday. Let's talk naps then. Interesting that you said there, Derek, that whatever bet you were putting up was as bad as the one that you put up last week. Well, last week you tried to take Liverpool on as well, and you went for Watford. It didn't work last time. What would your nap be this week?
Well, I do. I can't get away from that card. It's pricing on 14-5. I think that's too big. I'm almost tempted to make it me nap. But you know what I'll do instead? I'll go for Man United at 17-20. Very rarely that I nap Man United, but I just cannot see them not winning that game.
Okay. Mr. Excel?
He's just stolen mine, so I'll have to go to Plan B, which was going to be Plan A before their appalling performance on Monday night. Burnley or draw at Crystal Palace. Palace are in terrible form. Burnley haven't been brilliant, but you know they can grind things out away from home. So if you're giving me the draw on my side as well at that price, I'll take that.
Okay. You've nicked mine there as well, Andy. So we've had a knock-on effect on everyone here. They were appalling on Monday night. As a Newcastle fan, I was very pleased about that. But no way should Palace be 8-13 at home against, well, anyone, really, in the league.
No, you're right. And
Burnley, at their best, are at least organised. So, I think Burnley could get something there. So if you're looking elsewhere for an app, do you know what? I'm going to have to go to my Plan B, and I hate doing this. I'm going to have to go for Newcastle at home to West Ham, 29-20. Just too big because they're in a bit of a groove at the minute, and they've actually got a few options for once with Jonjo Shelvey having to make do with a place on the bench. So those trebles, we've got Burnley plus a goal at 23-20. We've got Man U at 17-20 and Newcastle at 29-20. And that treble comes to 8.74-1 if you are looking to get involved this week.
Well, as you can hear there, Alex is presenting the Punt Podcast this week. Sam Norris is on his jollies, so it's down to me, Mark Walton, to provide this week's European nap. I'll do my best, and I'm going to side with Borussia Dortmund as they take on Freiburg. Dortmund still flying high at the top of the Bundesliga. They're through to the knockout stages in the Champions League, and all is well. Their home form is excellent also, unbeaten all season in all competitions at home, and take on a side who struggle on the road in Freiburg, with the visitors only able to muster one win on the road this term. As a result, Dortmund are short. They're 3-10, in fact, or 100-30 on, if you prefer. But I think we can get a little bit of value here by adding both teams to score to the mix. That has happened in the last five Freiburg matches in total. It happens in their away games as well. And it's come off in six of the last seven Dortmund home matches. I like the look of Borussia Dortmund to win and both teams to score in the match at around about 6-4.
As promised, Jerry Cox now joins us on the line. A very good morning to you, Jerry.
Morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm very, very well. All the better for talking to you ahead of a cracking weekend, a cracking Sunday, at least, of Premier League football. We've just discussed the betting around it, but we're going to delve into a little more detail around Arsenal and Spurs and their story this season, because it's been, on the one hand, a success for both sides this season. On the other hand, they're still not where they'd want to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything is obviously coloured by Manchester City and Liverpool sort of running away at the top of the table. I know Spurs are just about sort of keeping onto the coattails, and Arsenal too. But I mean, I think in terms of the Premier League title, I don't think many people are really considering Tottenham and Arsenal as serious contenders when City looks so ominous and Liverpool are still you know, better than they were last year and so close to them as well. So it sort of seems to be it's developing into a three-horse race behind those two for the two Champions League spots, it seems. But who knows, you know, still early days.
Mm. We'll start by talking about Arsenal, because, of course, they've undergone a fair bit of change in the first time in a long time since Arsene Wenger's left.
Yeah.
And it didn't start swimmingly for Unai Emery with two defeats in the first two Premier League games. But since then, they've looked good. Not excellent, but good. Solid.
Yes. I mean, the concern, I think, obviously, in the first two games was that this new style of trying to play out from the back and trust the goalkeeper to play the ball out of it came undone seriously. But then they were playing, you know, Manchester City first game, and then Chelsea, who, you know, were playing with their own new manager. So, you know, give credit to Dick Emery, as we call him. He stuck with it, and you know, when people were saying, "Ooh, you are awful at the back," he persisted with it, and I think maybe the change of goalkeeper helped as well. But the players took to it, and they've, you know, they had that amazing winning run between sort of the end of August and what was it, the sort of end of October, and still unbeaten. So I mean, as we speak today, they've got their away game in the Europa League. I can't even pronounce them, so they're obviously one of Europe's top teams. But I mean, you wouldn't expect them. I know they're qualified. They're probably going to put a shadow side out tonight, but you'd still expect them to go into the game on Sunday unbeaten. And you know, I don't think many Arsenal fans would be much to complain about with the way they stand at the moment.
Derek, from the outside looking in, do you still see Arsenal as a bit of a soft touch?
Yeah, too right. I mean, you mentioned that long, long winning run, and now a long, long unbeaten run, and yet they're still in fifth place, miles behind the leaders. So you know, whoopee-doo Arsenal. I look at that Arsenal team, and there's a lot of tidy footballers in there. There are not a lot of title-winning footballers in there. There really aren't. The biggest strength is the manager. I mean, he's come in and taken over a ragtag bunch there and knocked them into shape in double quick time. You know, not title-winning shape, but, you know, top or possibly top four shape. And I remember when he was at manager of Seville and they played Liverpool in the Europa League final two or so years ago. And Liverpool, it was an absolute walk in the park for Liverpool. 1-0 up at half-time, and, you know, they were going to win 3 or 4-0. That's how easy it was. He made changes in the second half, Emery, and they murdered Liverpool second half. That's something Jurgen Klopp is not capable of doing, by the way, the man who gets all the acclaim. Emery did that. And from that day, I mean, he won it three seasons running, and that's not an easy trophy to win. So he's a top manager. And I think he'll get it right at Arsenal. He's going to have to shift out an awful lot of ordinary players, but he will get it right. So better times are ahead for Arsenal. But what I would say about Arsenal over the last, 20 years is I don't think there's been a team in Europe that's won so much acclaim falsely. Do you know that under Arsene Wenger, the only trophy Arsenal won under Arsene Wenger without Dennis Bergkamp was the FA Cup. I mean, if I had Dennis Bergkamp in my Sunday team, I'd be challenging for that. And, you know, so...
Even now.
And, you know, all those seasons that Arsenal were getting the acclaim and Liverpool were deservedly getting stick. Liverpool and Arsenal probably finished above each other the same number of times. People forget that too. They have been given such an easy ride in the press, Arsenal. It's unbelievable. Now they're getting a tough ride, and I don't think they deserve it because, this, as I say, this manager has had a hard job to do and he's doing it well so far. Will he finish in the top four? No. Next season they will, though.
OK. It's interesting, Jerry, because Emery's shown that he's not afraid to make bold decisions, with, I suppose, the chief one being Mesut Ozil, who Arsene Wenger seemingly couldn't or wouldn't or didn't want to drop. But Emery, if it suits his game plan, is more than happy to bench anyone, really.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Ozil, and obviously that's been a hot potato for the sort of the fans as much as the management and pundits looking out from the outside like us for a long time. And you know, obviously last week he wasn't involved at Bournemouth, and you know, and they came away with a result, maybe not the best performance, but I think and another big one was obviously dropping Peter Cech, but eventually, I mean, that was an injury that led to that. But it looks like, I think it's a long road back for Peter Cech at his age now. Mm. So, and Leno looks like, you know, the sort of goalkeeper that suits the style and is going to be there for a long time. So I think he, you know, he's prepared to sort of say, well, no one's above the team ethic here. And interestingly, you know, as Derek just said there, I think what you can see with Arsenal is the development now, maybe for the next couple of years, is a top four side, but maybe not challenging, really challenging for the title. And there's a little bit of what Pochettino's done at Spurs. You know, he's not been afraid. He came in and he kicked out the big ego players, the big names. He brought in younger players, maybe unfancied players. And his whole thing is about the team ethos. You know, no one's bigger than the team, which is a healthy thing to have in a football team. You know, you look at maybe look at the World Cup. You know, that was all about the teams that won, not the teams with superstars that won it, you know, that came through. So I think that's what Emery's trying to bring in at Arsenal. He's got, you know, he's brought in, he's obviously got a great holding or a really strong holding midfielder there in Torreira, which is something they lacked for a long time. Yeah. He's got a keeper that looks the part, which they lacked for a long time. They've always had the goal threat, and that's as good as ever. Maybe they're lacking a really, really commanding centre-half, you know, or at the back, just a bit more strength there, world-class player there. So, I think Derek got it spot on. They're going to be a challenge for the top four for the next few years to come, but maybe still away from overtaking the likes of City and Liverpool.
OK. What about Spurs then? Because we touched on Mauricio Pochettino there and what he's done at Spurs. And he has done a fantastic job, particularly this season, Derek, because I've just written down for my notes here, stadium, cross, budget, cross, Pochettino, tick. That is what Spurs have going for them right now.
Yep, he's their main man. You know, Harry Kane on the pitch, obviously, for all the goals he scores. But I think they would, if they lost Pochettino and kept Kane, I think it would be a worse deal for Spurs than the other way around. I think he's a tremendous manager, and you're right, this is a team that's finished, the only team, by the way, who's finished in the Premier League is finishing the top the last three seasons. That's Tottenham, by the way. They're going to do that again this season. I think they'll overhaul Liverpool to be Man City's closest challenges. They won't win it, City will win it obviously, but Tottenham will finish second. And you know, they've got the 3 points behind Liverpool now after 13 games without having a home game, really. They're playing at Wembley. They haven't got a home. They've only played 5 at home, 8 away, won 7 of those. This is a tidy side. I looked at that match, Chelsea, the Chelsea-Tottenham game last week. I saw the Chelsea lineup and I thought, geez, that's a good side, apart from Morata. And Tottenham wiped the floor with them. Mm. He's doing everything right, Pochettino. And, yeah, you know, Man City are skewing everything because they're so good. In a normal Premier League season, Tottenham would be going hammer and tongs for the title. And I've got a feeling that next season, They'll give City a proper run for the money. They'll make a few signings in the summer. They've got to after signing no one last summer. They'll go from strength to strength with this manager.
See, it's interesting, Jerry. As a neutral, watching the Spurs Chelsea game the other week was absolutely fantastic because it was great to see two good sides go at each other, but one of them with a clear game plan where you've got no prima donnas in that Tottenham side. You've got players who are willing to press and harry and really be aggressive, and that's what they were. They seemed like they were playing for their manager, playing for the team, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting in the post-match press conferences. You know, Maurizio Sarri came in, and it, you know, with refreshing honesty, he sort of pretty much held his hands up and said, you know, Pochettino got me on the tactics, surprised everyone with a 4-3-1-2, which he hasn't really played before. And their players, 1-11, were better than us. And it should have been more, you know, and none of the sort of whinging or moaning or making excuses or, you know, they had obviously had a very strong penalty shout turned down. But he said, well, it wouldn't have made a difference. They still would have beaten us. So I think, you know, that result was coming for Chelsea. I've seen a lot of Chelsea this year. And you always wondered when they come up against a side that's really in the mood and has a strong forward line, they might that back line's going to come under threat. And there may be a little bit of that about this Sunday's game. You know, whether Arsenal's unbeaten run has been good, but given the opposition they've played, I mean, Liverpool maybe is the one really strong test they've had in that period. Whether Spurs will really threaten that. You know, Tottenham have got something. They've just hit a patch of form. They often do this in turning into December. You know, they often start slowly and then just sort of pick up momentum from November onwards. And as they have now, you know, six wins in a row. And you know, players are coming back from injury. You know, key players. Dele Alli was a big part of last week's win at Chelsea, playing in a different role, as you say, playing for the team. You know, not the sort of number 10, getting on the end of crosses and floating around as a goal threat. He was doing a solid midfield job, closing down Jorginho. So, you know, Pochettino's, he's very smart. He's got a terrific record against Arsenal as well, by the way. I think he's only lost one league game since he's been in charge. And, you know, he knows how to win games. He keeps going on about aggressivity, he calls it, but attitude. And he said last week, straight after the Chelsea game, it's not about the tactics, it's not about the formation, even the players on the pitch. If you get the attitude right, you can do anything. And I think that's such a big part of football. And I think, you know, they showed it last night. I was at Wembley for the Inter Milan game. You know, they showed patience. It was a different sort of attitude. But they were aggressive from the start. They showed, you know, it was a frustrating time. They just needed that one goal to get them the 3 points. And they got it in the end. So, you know, they've got that sort of happy knack of knowing how to win at the moment. There's a lot of harmony in the camp. And also, I mean, we talk about, you know, they didn't make any signings in the summer. They signed this big fella from France in the midfield, Moussa Sissoko, that hadn't turned up for the previous two or three seasons. I don't know where that's come from, but everyone at Tottenham is talking about, you know, the transformation. He's turned into some player, you know.
Mm. Yeah, he's an odd one, isn't he? Because as a Newcastle fan, having watched him for years, he does this every now and again, but it's trying to sustain that over a prolonged period that has been the difficult bit, or trying to act like he cares half the time as well. But he's playing well at the minute, he is.
Well, that's what seems, he sustained it. You know, he's had a run now of 5 or 6 games, which is coincides with Tottenham's winning run, where he's really looked the part, you know, and he looks motivated and he seems to be a big part of the team at the moment.
We touched on their win against Inter Milan, Derek. They've still got it all to do to get through the Champions League group, haven't they?
Well, I can't believe they're still alive because, you know, I'd written them off a long time ago. I think they lost. Did they lose the first three or something? Something like that. I mean, I can't believe they're still in with a chance. And they are in with a chance now because Barcelona will probably ease up in that last game. So, I normally want all the English teams apart from Liverpool to go out of Europe. You know, I can't stand them. But actually, I'm rooting for Tottenham. I don't believe why. I don't understand how I am, but I am. We get there.
There you are. There's Pochettino's biggest victory as Spurs boss. He's managed to win Derek McGovern round.
What a result.
We've already heard from Derek on the weekend's game. In terms of a betting selection, Jerry, where would you be looking at the weekend? Spurs are marginal favourites, but Arsenal, as you've said, have got that unbeaten record. It's tantalisingly poised, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the history tells you score draw at the Emirates. I think four of the last five when Pochettino's been involved as well. So you'd sort of look at that as most likely result. You wouldn't bet against Harry Kane maybe getting an opening goal or getting a goal. He's got, I think he may have overtaken Thierry Henry as the best with the best record in London derbies in the Premier League era. So he's gonna be a goal threat and he loves that game. You know that he still talks about it being rejected by Arsenal as a young lad given him the sort of the spur to go on and prove them wrong, you know, so he loves playing against them. So maybe Kane to score and a 1-1 or a 2-2, you know?
Yeah, and as we said earlier, plenty of your odds markets to take a look at on the William Hill website on that. But a pleasure talking to you, Jerry.
Always a pleasure.
And the same to you, Mr. McGovern.
Cheers, no problem.
And we'll now hear from our championship tipster, Pete Farry. He's also got action in the FA Cup with Al Ross and Gav Pushalovsky coming up this weekend. Best luck, listeners, with whatever it is that you're betting on. And we'll be back next time on the Pun Podcast.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my championship nap this week, I'm going to surprise you all by looking at a Norwich game. Norwich host Rotherham United and are 47-100 should you fancy them to win. Rotherham Sixers, the draw 17-5 at the time of recording, but Norwich and both teams to score at 2-1 is going to be my play. That landed, of course, in that 4-3 absolute thriller the last time Norwich played at Carrow Road against Millwall. It landed against Aston Villa. And Rotherham, for all of their weakness on the road in terms of losses and certainly in terms of not winning, they have scored in 3 of the last 4 away games. They've also been involved in plenty of other great both teams to score games recently, have Rotherham. We saw that match against Sheffield United. It has landed in their last 5 matches. So both teams to score in Rotherham games, it seems fairly nailed on. But for me, Norwich, after a disappointing performance against Hull, will get back to winning ways. You combine the two, you've got Norwich and both teams to score. So Norwich, both teams to score at 2-1 is my championship nap of the week. Let's hear from Gav Pushalovsky and get his thoughts.
Round 2 of the FA Cup this weekend, and my challenge is to find the best price involving a side from League One, and I'm putting up Charlton Athletic as my nap at 13-10 at home to Doncaster Rovers. Charlton have found form under Lee Bowyer, winning the last 3 games straight. FA Cup round 1 replay at home to Mansfield, wallet them 5-0, then scored 3 against Bristol Rovers, winning that game and winning 2-1 away at Burton Albion. Charlton scoring plenty of goals at the moment, and Doncaster Rovers not brilliant on their travels with only 1 win in 7 away games in all competitions. And Doncaster Rovers away from home in the FA Cup, conceding goals away at Chorley, 2 there, and away at Ebbsfleet United last season, conceding 2 there as well. And they conceded 2 at Charlton in a League One affair in November. Charlton won at home by 2-0. So therefore, Charlton are my nap at 13-10. Looking at sides from League Two in the FA Cup, here's Al Ross.
The standout price of the FA Cup for me this week is Grimsby. They are at Chesterfield, who themselves were a League Two team last season when Grimsby did win both of their meetings. Chesterfield were bad last season, bottom of the table, relegated, 8 points adrift of every other team, kind of bad, and they keep falling. They're in the conference relegation zone. They're in danger of dropping to the conference north. 3 wins in 22 games in the division below Grimsby. Grimsby themselves on for another lower mid-table finish in League 2. They've won 3 of their last 5. And yes, they're poor on the road, but that's poor form at League 2 sides. Chesterfield are over a division worse. Grimsby have just taken 4 points from their games against Northampton and Tranmere. Chesterfield are lower in their table than Maidenhead United, Haverton, Waterlooville and Boreham Wood. You could argue the draws are played, Chesterfield do love a good draw, but when the away side is so much better, 5th in the League 2 form table, why would you ignore that? And why are they second favourites? In a mad bit of trader pricing, Grimsby are somehow 15-8.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.